You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
Welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very, I don't have an adjective for it, but we have a top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
We are doing our Build Your Own trilogy.
But what does that mean, Steve?
Glad you asked, Wes. We are taking not your traditional trilogy, you know, of films that are numbered 1 through 3. We are taking thematic elements, actors. We're taking a way to kind of craft your own trilogy of films as you see fit.
Fantastic. And we have a lot of show to get to, so let's get to it. Steven, another week, another podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Guess what happens next week?
Cobra Jones turns one.
Yeah.
Is that it? Seriously?
Yeah, that is it.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't mean to take the wind out of your sails.
Really just
yeah, oh boy.
Pull that right out of there.
Should we start this over again?
No.
Cobra Jones turns 1 year old!
So, not that I want to go too far into, like, oh, being a dad is so, it's my wonderful life changer.
Lame. God.
Here's the thing that I actually take away from my daughter going from 0 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is like, it goes by so fast. It goes so fast. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while they're this age. It goes by so fast. I'm like, hey, shut up, everybody. I get it. Shut up.
My daughter turned 0 to 1 in approximately 5 years.
I get it. I get math, all right? Yeah. So I feel like especially from the 0 to 1 year old, all the milestones are in very visual to watch. Like,
sure.
Oh, you were just a little bag of a person. You were a little nugget baby.
That's how I describe children. You're just little bags of people.
When they're like a month old, they're just this like little, like barely developed little like hamster machine.
What?
It's mostly machine with the brain of a hamster. Duh. Wes, I'm a doctor.
Clearly a father as well. You know, my daughter, this bag of a hamster machine.
I mean, it paints a picture.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, they just lay there. They can't see more than, like, you know, like a foot in front of their face. They're just little poop bags. That's it.
Yeah, and they can't feel it when you poke them very hard.
No.
Yeah.
They're just, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's like a bean bag that breathes.
Yeah,
but it gets better.
So, I get it.
There.
I'm clearly not a father, but I get it.
I mean, I think it paints a pretty clear picture of what fatherhood is like for the first couple months.
Sure.
There's no difference of what I said to what it is.
Can't we spend the next hour just talking about
different metaphors for
the first couple months of a baby's life?
I definitely did just call her a bag of hamster machine.
You did. It's like mashed potatoes, but in a Ziploc bag with a brain.
And then you slapped it at a mannequin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that.
Like a baby.
But, so she starts from this bag of hamster machine to, like, then it's like, oh, wait, now you have laughed. Like, ah, that's like a first indication of being a human hamster machine.
Yeah.
And then it's very, very clear of, like, here are some teeth, and now you can walk a little bit. And, like, that progression is very easy to see, and she's much, you know, much taller, much more coordinated, all those things, you can see them. So when someone's like, hey, oh my God, she's 1 year old, doesn't it fly by? My first thought was like, I have spent so much time at work. Like, oh my God. When you think about, like, the pie chart, especially since I don't have much free time now with a baby, it's like, pie chart, work, I don't know, 9-10 hours a day?
Sure.
And then sleep, I don't know, 7-ish hours a day?
Sure.
It's like, and then, I don't know, changing diapers and feeding baby for most of the rest of that. It's like, what the fuck did I do this last year? Like, what have I done? Have I done, like, a thing for me?
No, you've just been changing diapers for the hamster machine.
This hamster machine, it's got a, I don't know, some sort of loose valve or something. It's leaking everywhere. We got to do something better.
Are you guys doing anything special for the 1 year anniversary of Cobra Jones' birth?
We're going to a place that's called Enchanted Castle.
Fantastic.
And for those who don't know, because this is a local thing, if you have a GameWorks near you or like a Dave and Buster's or a kind of like a big arcade kind of place like that, it's similar to that. It's kind of like the middle ground of like a Dave and Buster's and like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Sure.
Chuck E. Cheese being exclusively for kids. Dave and Buster's pretty much exclusively for adults.
Sure.
Kind of that sweet spot in the middle where there's good kid games, but there's also like bumper cars and laser tag and like really violent shooting games and racing games like for the big kids and the adults. Mm. And then there's also some stuff for the kiddie pies as well.
Sure.
Because the truth is, birthday number one, it's not really for her.
No. She won't remember it.
She won't remember it. She's going to be more excited about the boxes that the toys came in than the toys. And the truth is, she doesn't need any toys.
Yeah.
What she needs is money for that sweet, sweet college fund. So anyway, I, of course, being who I am, was like, hey, your daughter is turning one. I'm like, won't anyone do anything for me?
So quick question. I don't think I've actually asked you this off the podcast. Do you find that you and Holly are turning into those lame parents where you only get together with other parents just to watch your children play together? Or do you feel like you and Holly still are kicking it like single people?
We don't have a ton of other parent friends.
Well, I'm sorry, Steve. I just so I'm haven't looking, gotten around to it.
If anyone's out there looking for a friend. You know what, man? It sounds really depressing. It's like, I don't find myself hanging out a lot, period.
Sure.
Cause it's, and again, I don't mean to drone on about dad life, but again, doing kind of like the 1 year reflection period. It's like, you come home from work, you play with your kid for a little bit, you do the things you gotta do, you give her the bath, you have, do the feedings.
Put the hamster to bed.
Put the hamster in the wheel, let him run around a bit, you know. Yeah. Work off some of that baby fat. And,
way to give your daughter body issues before she's even 1 year old.
Dude, she is 90% cheeks. Yeah. Whether it is facial or butt, that's it. Like, she's 90% cheeks with some eyes and a hamster. That's it.
That's it.
So you get home, you do the baby thing until like 8 o'clock, and then you can't leave. You can't just be like, all right, the baby's down. Well, going to Wes's. Hope she doesn't wake up or have anything happen. You can't just be like, hey, Luna the dog, make sure the baby's okay. You can't do that. So you just...
Sure.
It's like 8 o'clock, and then you got to be quiet. I was just telling my buddies, like, 8 o'clock, you put her down. You got to be quiet for like 20 minutes, make sure she stays down. So you spend half an hour, you're tired, and now you got to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, good night. It's 8:30 for me. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just fucking go to bed. So I have to be like, no, you are a grown-ass man. You do something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I watch like an episode of Stranger Things. I'm like, all right, now I can go to bed.
Oh, yeah, now that you've fulfilled your grown-ass man thing.
It's just, not to sound dramatic about it, but it's exhausting. It's you come home from work and then you do your second job, which is being a dad. Yes, I know. Your first job is being a father. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. The way that the schedule plays out, your second job is being a dad.
Sure.
So I work from like 6 a.m. to 8-ish at night every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fucking tired.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you came here this evening and you were just, you had that like, that cap on with the yep. nighty cap.
Yeah.
And your sweats. And it was like, Steve, do you just want to like go to sleep?
Oh, yeah. So I don't mean to do a woe is me, but this is the real part of like, you know, early parenthood here. You know, it's like for those, this is the real talk.
Well, Steve, it's only going to get worse. So
I don't know. And who knows? And it's not like, I don't want to make it sound like I don't like being a dad and I don't like my daughter, my hamster machine. Totally do.
Your little hamster machine.
I love her. I love her to death and I wouldn't change it.
How could you not love her to death?
But these are the facts that it takes a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy. And your pie chart, you know, of time for yourself, which is, it's an important thing. And it's something that's It's one of the things that we do in this podcast. We talk about this, the escapes that we like to have, you know, TV, video games, mm-hmm. and movies. And, like, that part of your schedule shrinks dramatically. The time you can spend with friends, the time to just, like, do something for yourself, which sounds selfish, but it is an enormously important thing to your own mental health.
Oh, sure.
No matter who you are, you've got to have time to yourself to do your own thing.
Well, let me tell you, Steve, Caitlin has been out of town for the past five-ish days, and too much time to oneself can be detrimental.
Absolutely true.
Oh, my God. I feel like I've forgotten how to be an adult male.
And I noticed you've been wearing your pajama pants.
I don't think I've put on real pants in 5 days. Like, I've done, I've had rehearsal, I've had shows. Besides those times, I feel like I haven't been a real person. I've just been playing video games and pooping and sleeping. And that's been
all in the same spot.
All in the same goddamn spot. I'm my own hamster machine, is what I'm saying.
The hamster wheel is complete.
Ah, yes.
It's the hamster wheel of life.
So I've been playing a lot of Just Cause 3, and I'm trying to wrap that up because it takes up 45 gigabytes on my PlayStation 4.
Wow.
That's a lot for not a very good game.
Yeah, but what do you give Just Cause?
A good, like a solid 75.
So, okay. That's about what I expect that game to be.
It's okay. It does get old blowing up the same shit over and over again, but it's okay.
Okay.
I'm also playing, Amnesia: The Dark Descent.
Okay.
Which is fun. And I played through something else I'm blanking on. Oh, Abzu. It's a lot like Journey, except it's set underwater and it's very, very colorful. Mm. And you like Journey, right?
Yeah, I liked Journey.
Yeah.
I liked Journey.
Other than that, I watched Thor Ragnarok.
You saw Thor Ragnarok. You went to the movie theater.
I did. I put on real pants.
Wow.
I know. It was hard.
I mean, if there's one gentleman that is going to inspire you to dress it up a little bit.
I mean, I got to impress Chris Hemsworth.
My God, sir. Did it work?
It did.
What do you give? I want to know your rating first.
I give it an 82.
82. Okay.
People are fawning all over this film, and it's very, very good, but I do have some issues with it.
Okay.
Thor, I feel, is completely different than he's been in any other Marvel movie.
Mm.
So, not a consistent character. They do away with some characters that I personally really liked so fast in the movie. And I feel like there are a lot of tragic moments that don't get the proper gravitas they deserve.
Ooh, I love that word.
Gravitas. I feel like they just rush past those moments just to get to another punchline.
So on the spectrum here, they're leaning comedy on this thing.
Oh, it is a total comedy. It's very much like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
It's what I wanted Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 to be.
Okay.
Except it's a Thor movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dan, our previous guest on the podcast several times, he saw it as well. I believe he gave it right about like an 80, 82 as well.
Mm-hmm.
He also pointed out, God, I'm blanking out. Who's the villainess?
Cate Blanchett. Mm-hmm.
He said that Cate Blanchett was extremely attractive in this film.
Oh, she is gorgeous.
To the point where Dan and I were talking that Cate Blanchett was, kind of like that Gwyneth Paltrow woman to me. We're like, you are a beautiful woman, but I'm not like sexually attracted to you. Like, you are very beautiful to look at, but you're not like, I want to hold hands with you. You know, that sort of thing. And he's like, Cate Blanchett, girl, where have you been hiding?
Girl.
He said Cate Blanchett in this movie may have jumped into his top 10.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, that maybe reason enough for me to go see this thing.
I mean, Cate Blanchett, Chris Hemsworth. I mean, we got some good-looking people in that movie.
And went from Natalie Portman, which is no slouch.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently Cate Blanchett surpasses.
Oh, totally. And because she's got that bad girl thing going on.
And I've not seen the film, but I think she's also in some more skin-tight sort of...
Oh, totally.
Yeah, Cate Blanchett was dressed like a normal... Or excuse me, Natalie Portman was dressed like a normal human woman, not some sort of, like, leather-clad villainess sort of deal.
Sure. Now that I think about it, I do have kind of an issue with that, now that I'm thinking about it. Cate Blanchett is probably one of Marvel's... she doesn't fall into the Marvel villain trap where they're just evil just to be evil.
Sure.
I feel like she is actually a very good villain, but because she's the first female villain, I feel like they make her way too sexy.
Mm. And actually, I was about to say, I don't mean to just objectify Kate Blanchett in this particular way, but
sure.
The reason that I do this is because I've never thought of her in that particular kind of light before. It's like if, for some reason, Meryl Streep, I'm like, Jesus, Meryl Streep! You're the best-looking 70-year-old broad I've ever seen!
Well, and you're absolutely correct. I've never seen Kate Blanchett in a movie. Like, I didn't watch the Benjamin Button and be like, damn, Kate!
Like, she's obviously a phenomenally talented actress. She's
yeah.
fantastic.
Sure.
I think she's probably like top three actress of our time, probably, of our era.
Are you trying to get into her pants right now?
Is it working? And if not, I'll take a Chris Hemsworth, please. Oh.
How do you feel about Tom Hiddleston? How does he rank?
You know what? Not great.
I don't understand why people find him so attractive, to be honest.
I mean, he's in a movie with, like, ultra-sexy people.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I guess you get, like, some points just by, like osmosis next to you. Chris Hemsworth is so attractive that, like, Tom Hiddleston, just by being near him, looks a little bit better. You're kind of still, like, blinded by the fuzz of... No?
I feel like that's the opposite of how that works. Yeah. When a person is so attractive, they make everybody else uglier by comparison.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I mean, I don't think Tom Hiddleston is, you know, a disgusting-looking dude or anything.
Oh, sure, he's not a hamster machine.
He ain't no hamster machine.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, whatever. Tom Hiddleston is... I guess he's British. He's got that going for him, I suppose.
Sure.
What? Some people like that.
Yeah, I mean, I like accents. I literally slept with people before just because they had an accent.
Speaking of accents, did I mention last week on the podcast the newest podcast I've been listening to?
Pod USA?
No. Pod Save America. But
okay.
No, that is not our show. We're not going to dive into that.
Fair enough.
But by the way, it's great.
glad we're not diving into it.
So I've been on the road a lot for work, so I've been listening to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I was looking, so I listened to some, you know, political stuff and some other stuff that's a bit dense, a bit heavy. I'm like, wow. Oh, God. Oh, God, I need something else.
Sure.
And I came across a podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, my God, he told me about this.
So, real quick, it's exactly what it sounds like it is. There's this British dude and his, like, 60-something-year-old dad wrote an erotic novel, some erotica. So instead of, you know, being like, oh my God, I hate everything that's happening, he brings two friends on his podcast and he reads his father's erotica chapter by chapter with them commenting as they go.
God.
And keep in mind, his father is not good at writing erotica.
Sure. So
he's a bad author writing a bad book.
Mm-hmm.
And so his friends are ripping this thing apart as they go. And they're very British. And that adds something to me. Adds something to it for me. I don't know why I like them being so British, but I just like it.
Is it because they're very proper sounding and they're talking about erotica?
Yes.
Yes.
That does not hurt. So,
and Tom Hiddleston appears in the podcast.
I guess I was like, oh, you're okay, Tom Hiddleston. You're fine. It's a really... It makes me laugh out loud several times, which is a rarity. So I give it a big endorsement. My Dad Wrote a Porno. So if you're looking for something fun, probably most definitely not safe for work, but it's fun. So you check it out.
Have you checked out Off Book, the improvised musical yet?
No, you did. You mentioned that to me this week, but I'm still working through My Dad Wrote a Porno right now.
Of course. So, you have to get through all that.
I do. It's really fun. But I will definitely move on to that as well.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Off Book, the improvised musical. I believe I mentioned on the podcast before that I'm doing a lot of music improv around the city right now. And I actually learn a lot from listening to this show. Not only is it super funny and the hosts are really, really talented, it's actually very educational if you're in the improv or music improv world.
Cool. I've been plucking along on Stranger Things Season 2.
And how's that going?
I think we're 3 or 4 episodes in, and I'm having a good time. Right now we're kind of setting the, getting some exposition down. We're kind of building some tensions, doing like, okay, ready. I am ready to start this roller coaster coming over the, you know, the top here.
Sure.
So, feeling just fine. I really enjoy the show. These kids are super talented actors.
Oh, yeah. They're great. Much better than us.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Well, speaking of Stranger Things and scary things...
Could you take a look at this growth?
This looks weird to me. No, we have to move on to some emails from last week's podcast, or last podcast top five, which was Top 5 Childhood Terrors.
God. I haven't slept since.
Timothy Adam Murphy writes in his top five. He writes down, his number five is King Triton destroying Ariel's treasures in The Little Mermaid.
Wow, that is good.
Yeah, that is scary.
That's a really great example of angry dad showing up.
Oh, yeah. Especially with magic. That's tough.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, like, you go to a friend's house or whatever, and like, you're at a sleepover and you're staying up too late sort of thing, and like, angry dad comes downstairs like, hey, like, I got work tomorrow. I told you kids go to bed. It's like, oh, shit. Your dad is pissed. If he came down and was like, hey, I got to go to work tomorrow. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, made all the furniture float. And, and like, took, like, your friend Jim and just, like, threw him out the window.
Yeah. A murderous, angry father is a little scary.
Just saying. It's an escalation.
You're right. You're absolutely correct. His number four is clowns. Just clowns. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
I imagine he's a huge fan of the new It movie.
Oh, I'm sure. His number three is the Hulk. Just his rage and how angry he got was enough to send me cowering underneath a blanket.
I wonder if that's a Lou Ferrigno Hulk he's talking about.
I don't know.
Or if he's talking about, like, animated Hulk. I don't know.
Sure. We will never know. Timothy, answer this question.
I'm seeing a common thread here.
Oh, God. Are we diving into Timothy and Murphy's psyche right now?
Oh, God. We'll see how he rounds it out.
His number two, angry dads. No. His number two is...
I just joked. I was like, that's what... Oh, you son of a bitch.
His number two is fireman poles. This one is a bit weird, but it came about during an elementary school field trip to the local firehouse. When I was little, I wanted nothing more than to be a firefighter, and at the end of my trip, my class was given the opportunity to slide down the pole, but when I saw it, I got scared and backed away, and that started my fear of heights. I wouldn't even go near the poles at my high school's playground because of that.
His high school's playground?
At my school's playground, excuse me.
It's like, I actually am with him on this one.
Sure.
I did not like the fire pole on the playground equipment.
I didn't like it either because it seemed so unsafe.
Super unsafe.
Yeah.
Like if you release the hands a bit too much, come crashing into the ground.
Oh, you're just falling.
If you hold it too tight, you might burn your, like, injure your hands going down.
Yeah.
And I could never climb up the pole either. Some kids would be like, blah, 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 just like right up. I'm like, what the? And I'm like, every time, like, my feet would slide out and didn't like it.
Didn't like it. No.
No.
No. We're with you right there, Timothy. Yeah. His number one is Pinocchio's Daring Journey. This is a ride at Disneyland that takes you through the events of the Pinocchio movie. I was probably about 4 or 5 when I went on it, and the big thing that scared me was during the scene where you see Pinocchio locked up in a birdcage, a giant birdcage entraps your ride vehicle for 5 seconds. And I remember screaming and trying to find my way off the ride, and it was because of that I've come to hate that movie. Why? Haven't been on this ride.
I went to Disney World as a kid, and I'm trying to remember if I went on this ride. It's not ringing any bell. I remember Pirates of the Caribbean, and I remember Space Mountain was the shit.
Oh, that is so good.
I remember It's a Small World sucked, and that kind of creeped me out.
Yeah.
But I don't remember this ride.
No, neither do I.
Not saying that it's not horrifying. It sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
Do you have an early childhood ride thing that was bad for you? Because I do.
I don't. The only thing that I can think of was this ride where the room spun around really, really fast and you would, like, cling to the walls. The
Gravitron.
Yeah. I just got super sick and vomited everywhere. So,
perfect. My really super sad ride story real quick My father actually took me to one of those, like, you know, pop-up carnival things. It was like in the grocery, like the, you know, like in a lot of a grocery store sort of deal. It's there for the weekend. You know, not like your town festival, just these random ones that pop up. And we went on the teacup ride, you know, where the whole thing spins and then you can kind of like spin the thing while you're in it.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know, I was like 6 or 7 or something. And we're in this teacup ride and the whole thing is spinning. And this is when I figured out I don't like being spun.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is spinning around. Of course, you've got the teenage carny guy that's like operating the thing. And I'm screaming and crying for him to turn the ride out. So like the guy, like as I come around, I'm like, turn up the ride. And in between that, I'm like, like, here he comes. Stop. And we got off and I was like inconsolable. I was like, it's like, I never want to talk.
And this is when you were 14?
I was 3 weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic.
It sucked. I don't do spinning on anything ever again.
So this explains why you don't like it when I pick you up and spin you around.
Stop spinning me.
Yeah, similar.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, the next email comes from Mr. B. Birdwhistle. His number 5 is Slappy the Dummy in Goosebumps.
Oh, yeah. Night of the Living Dummy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like 19 of those books.
Oh, my God. God, are Goosebumps still going on?
I don't think like regular Goosebumps are going on. I think there might be some sort of like offshoot of Goosebumps, but no longer the regular ones, I think.
Is R.L. Stein still a thing?
Is R.L. Stein just a computer program?
Because remember, he was writing like 4 books a month, and they were all bad. And we thought they were amazing.
I was fucking crazy for Goosebumps.
Oh, my God. I loved it. And then Fear Street?
Fourth, fifth grade, I remember we had this like reading list thing. Like you had to write down all the books that you read.
Yeah.
And you had to read a certain amount of books in the year. And they had to be like, all right, look, everybody, you get 5 Goosebumps books. The rest of them don't count, okay?
Sure.
You gotta, and we're like, oh, come on! There is no other book! Real quick, top Goosebumps book.
Was Monster Blood, was that a Goosebumps book?
Yes.
Then that.
My, right at the top was Attack of the Mutant and Ghost Beach.
Oh, Attack of the Mutant was so good.
Those I remember being like my 2 jams.
Sure. His number 4 was The T-Rex in Dino Crisis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jurassic Park.
No.
Dino Crisis, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Square game.
Oh, my God.
On PlayStation 1.
Sure. His number 3 was one of my honorable mentions. Judge Doom in Roger Rabbit. Christopher Lloyd's character?
Yeah.
Fucking terrified me.
Yep. I had this conversation with the nanny of our child, and that was her number 1, I believe. At the end, when he like starts bouncing and melting.
Oh yeah. When I killed your brother, I talked just like this. Oh God. His number 2 is Carrie.
Okay.
I saw this movie
way too young. Let me guess. That's
exactly.
The next.
No, I saw this movie a few years ago, and I can see how it would be scary when you're very young.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this movie when I was like 9.
And how'd you feel about it?
Horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was Sissy Spacek, right?
I don't remember who Carrie was.
Mm.
Before my time of actually paying attention to that sort of thing.
Sure. His number 1 is Stuff Falling Out of Trees on Me. I mean, I understand it. Oh, God, this is a little TLDR, but I feel like I should read it. This is a weird history for me. When I was 5, I walked under an oak tree and a 6th grader fell on me. When I was 6, a large spider fell out of a tree above us and landed on my friend's neck and wouldn't come off. When I was 10, I went canoeing with some friends. We bumped into a tree, and a 7-foot snake fell into the boat and started hissing at us. Jesus Christ. When I was 13, I went to the U.S. Virgin Islands with my parents, and there was this one island where 8-foot iguanas regularly fell out of trees and just continued walking around. No one treated it as weird, so I just kept going, am I insane? How are you people not freaking out about this?
Oh, my God, this is phenomenal.
Oh, God, you know what? That is, it's a good one.
God,
I never would have thought about it.
You gotta think that there was some sort of bizarre childhood curse put on him. Like some sort of like vengeful third grader was like, wherever he goes, there'll be random things that fall out of trees.
I feel like a sixth grader falling on him is a lot.
And I'll tell you, when he said, you know, things falling out of trees, I mean, I'm like, I don't know what, like fucking acorns? Like, I don't know, like a kind of sizable branch? Like, I don't know. What the hell's going to fall out of a tree? I did not think snakes, iguanas, sixth graders.
Or spiders.
Or none of those things crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Of, like, I don't know, maybe a squirrel. Maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
A clumsy squirrel.
Oh, man. That is... I wonder if... Like, every tree he is about to, like, go under, he does a very thorough inspection.
I think he's only walked under 5 trees in his life, and they've all...
Since the U.S. Virgin Islands, no trees.
Exactly.
He carries a chainsaw everywhere he goes. I mean,
just cutting them down everywhere he goes.
Man, that is really, really tragic and very funny.
Well, thank you, everybody, for writing in your top fives. But we have to move on to this week's top five. So what is this week's top five, Steve?
We are doing a make-your-own trilogy.
But, Steve, what does that mean?
It means you come to our buffet here. A buffet of films.
Uh-huh.
So what we're looking... So this, the genesis of this... Is that every
Ooh,
year for
Genesis?
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
What did you say before? The word I liked?
Juxtaposition?
No!
I have no idea. What was
what?
It? I have no idea.
Whatever, Wes.
I say so
at home
few
right
things
now are
that
going,
you like.
This is the word, you idiots! You just said it.
I rarely say things that you like,
that
so
is, that's why I thought you would remember.
Ah, you're right.
So every Thanksgiving. We watch a trilogy. Yeah. So it's Wes and I and my mom and some friends and my wife and my hamster machine. We watch. So on Thanksgiving night, we watch the first movie of a trilogy.
Yeah.
Then the following day, everyone comes over in the pants that Wes is currently wearing, his pajama pants.
Oh, yeah. They all wear my pants.
Everyone gets in Wes's pants. We eat leftovers and we watch the final two movies of that trilogy. Mm-hmm. So we've done Lord of the Rings, we've done Toy Story,
Indiana Jones,
some of your classic trilogies. So this year, we were like, what if we did more of a thematic trilogy, maybe?
Sure.
Something that kind of feels in the same vein, not a literal trilogy. So what is your headline, your title of these three films that you're going to put together to create some sort of trilogy in some kind of way?
And this was a very interesting top five because you can do anything that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked like the first five trilogies that I thought of, but you could really do, well, like I just said, anything that you want.
Yeah, there's no shortage of trilogies you can do. Just depends how specific and what you're kind of looking for. So you know what? I will start with my number five.
All right.
First.
Sounds good. Now, how do you want to do this, Steve? Do you want to give me the trilogy and then I can try to figure out the through line?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
You know what? I'm going to give you, I'll give you the three films.
Okay.
And you tell me what you think my title of this trilogy is.
Okay.
All right. So, first film. E.T. The Extraterrestrial.
It's going to be Aliens.
Oh, that's it? number two. Alien. Number three.
Aliens.
Damn it! Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
So it's Aliens.
Yes, but more. There's something a little bit more specific to it. The reason I chose this.
A single alien?
No.
Okay.
Steven?
No.
No. Spielberg is two of the three.
Yeah.
But the reason I chose these particular three is not just, oh, aliens, cool. Let's just watch three alien movies. Cool. Right, guys? All right.
Where are you going?
Why is everyone leaving? This is going to be so fun. There's aliens in here. The reason I chose these three is because they are three very different first encounter films with aliens.
Okay.
So, or three different, very different movies featuring aliens. So, E.T. is obviously slanted more towards a child. There's a lot of adult themes and stuff in there, but it is, you know, the bonding of this, like, cute alien that you kind of fall in love with this boy, and that's the story that's being told. Whereas, obviously, we know in Alien, that is not the case. They are not bonding in the way that you want them to bond.
That alien does not need to phone home.
No, that is, you're not hiding in the stuffed animals being like, oh, my friend, the xenomorph. Like, not the case.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of like the cute friend alien that you care for. Then you have the alien that you will do anything in your power to stay away from.
Sure.
That is just a horrifying creature. And then Close Encounters of the Third Kind is more of the, like, first contact with another species, like a more classic sci-fi meeting of aliens. So yes. Is it a trilogy about aliens? Yes. But specifically, it is about like three very different types of aliens. I was thinking about putting Mars Attacks in here.
Oh, sure.
Because it was fresh in my mind from the previous weeks as well. But I want something sci-fi in there because I love me some sci-fi. So, but I didn't just want to be like, oh, three scary movies with aliens. Like, three very different kind of takes on meeting aliens for the first time.
Sure.
There's a much more like scientific curiosity in Close Encounters than verse in Alien that is just a suspense thriller horror, you know? Mm-hmm. So my number five is going to be First Encounters.
Fantastic. My number five, I feel like my number five and my number four are going to be super obvious. My number five, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day. What is the through line?
Well, you could try to stretch it and say, like, oh, former SNL cast members. Are you doing Bill Murray movies?
Oh, yeah.
You're doing Bill Murray movies?
Classic Bill Murray movies.
Okay.
What? Why are you against this?
I'm not against it. I just be like, come on.
You're so disappointed. You're like an angry dad.
I feel like you can dig deeper than that.
I do not wish to.
So give me your three again.
Groundhog Day, Stripes, and Ghostbusters. If you want to see three classic Bill Murray movies, those are the three. And they are classic comedies that are still super funny to this day.
Wes,
you are so disappointed.
I'm pretty disappointed.
Oh, God, you're going to hate my number four, too.
Oh, boy. I feel like this is like your most absolute, like, it's like, hi, and welcome to Build Your Own Trilogy, and getting off on the first floor is a movie, or three movies with the same guy.
Well,
all right.
It has been a while since we've spent an entire top five with you yelling at me, so I'm very, very excited to dive into this.
I feel like, let me just guess your number four at this point. It's going to be...
Oh my God.
Three Kate Blanchett movies.
Close. I feel like I should just do my number four right now.
Well, it's a way to really, you know, push the envelope here on some creativity. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I feel like I should just do my number four.
For my number three, it is going to be three movies about Christmas.
Yeah. Says the dude who just did three Alien movies.
Yeah, with a goddamn good explanation why.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, well, what's your number four?
Well, you know what? Fire out your number four.
Okay, well, God damn it. I kind of want to crawl into a hole right now. My number four is Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber.
Wes! Give me a goddamn good explanation why.
Because Jim Carrey nowadays is not the Jim Carrey that we fell in love with in the early 90s. And these three films were his breakout roles. And they are just classic comedies that still hold up to this day.
Did you say Jim Carrey or Bill Murray for the same explanation?
I just kind of copy-pasted my explanation.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do for you here, Wes.
Oh, okay.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to work together here as a team.
Fantastic.
This is what we're going to do right now. I'm gonna bump one of mine down here because it's if yours is boxed wine. Mine is a refined Chardonnay.
I can't wait to hear it.
So we're going to take both of yours, okay, and we're going to combine them with mine, and we're going to rework them a little bit.
Okay, Wes, sounds good.
I'm Wes.
You're trying to help me.
I'm trying to help you right now. So my number three is going to be from one actor as well.
Okay.
But the reason I chose this particular way to go about it is I chose an actor with a very long career,
mm-hmm,
and I chose a film when he was young,
mm-hmm,
I chose a film from when he was in the kind of the middle, kind of in his prime, okay, and also an older version of him. There's no shortage of actors or actresses that we can do this with.
Yeah,
including the two that you just listed as well.
Sure.
So let's use Robert De Niro. That was gonna be the guy I was gonna use.
Okay.
So young De Niro, we're gonna go Taxi Driver.
Okay.
Super intense, dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of a forgotten gem with Mr. De Niro. We're gonna go, so that was like late 70s. Then we're gonna go like, I think it's 1990 or like 89. We're gonna go Cape Fear.
Interesting.
De Niro.
Okay.
A little different.
Yeah.
And then to round it out,
Meet the Parents.
We're gonna bring in Meet the Parents.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh wow.
We're gonna bring in it because, again, talking about Jim Carrey and what he is now and what he was then and somewhere in the middle, like, we did not have funny De Niro. You know, in 1980, 1990, that was not a thing.
Sure.
We've got some sort of weird, shitty version of De Niro now. But
yeah,
when he came, Meet the Parents is funny. It kind of gets shit on now.
Yeah.
But, like, that movie is really funny. And I think
yeah,
we're coming up to the point now where you can watch Meet the Parents again, and it's not like, oh, my God, this fucking movie again. Like, Meet the Parents is legit. So you get to see really young, super intense De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see more like in his prime De Niro, 90s. And then you get to see the other side of the coin. You get to see the comedy. Like, so Jim Carrey is a great example of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So The Mask was Ace Ventura first, then The Mask, right?
Then The Mask, yep.
So let's say we do a Ventura, a Dumb and Dumber. And then maybe attack on an Eternal Sunshine at the end.
Oh, sure.
Maybe throw a Truman Show at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly not a Burt Wonderstone.
God, no.
God, no.
Good Lord.
And same
Lord.
Thing with Bill Murray. Swap one out and throw in a Lost in Translation at the end.
Okay. But I guess I just...
Now you're seeing the longevity of a Bill Murray. The development of a Bill Murray.
Don't
you roll your ass at me!
I'm rolling my eyes because it's like I started thinking of movies that I could actually sit through a triple feature of, and like Bill Murray comedies and Jim Carrey comedies. Like,
They're not bad movies.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I'm trying to refine your trilogy a bit. That is all. I'm trying to help you here, Wes. I'm
trying to do an extra distillation.
That's what I'm
just
saying. We're trying to escalate just a little, elevate just a little bit.
The only thing that I would say about your Robert De Niro trilogy is I would swap out Meet the Parents for Analyze This.
Okay, that's
that
fine.
That movie is fucking hilarious.
Also funny, absolutely. Yeah. I think that is a fine swap.
Mm-hmm.
A fine swap. Because, I mean, you could obviously do, you know, Godfather 2 and then Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And you could do Casino.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro gangster movies. Like, no, obviously. Not a problem to do at all. But I think there's something... Not every actor obviously gets to do that for, you know, like 50 years, you know, 40 years. Like, I think Michael Caine would be a really fun, like, you know, from a young Caine to, you know, across his career. And even Leonardo DiCaprio, he's not that old, but you
yeah.
can do a What's Eating Gilbert Grape and then like a Romeo and Juliet and then, I mean, whatever, The Revenant. You know, like,
sure.
that is an actor doing some different things over some time.
Sure.
So, I like the idea of watching a guy or a lady progress his career over a long period of time.
Well, I hope my number three is more up to your standards.
I hope so, too.
Oh, my God. But probably not.
These are all movies with toilet in the title.
Yep. My number three is The Girl Next Door, Euro Trip, American Pie.
We're doing... Early 90s teens comedies.
Oh, sex comedies.
Comedies.
Totally.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought about throwing something with like a Can't Hardly Wait and an American Pie and a... I thought about doing that too.
Yeah. just figured if you want to like have a bro night with some fellas, you know, where you just like you sit around, you put your hands on each other's legs, and you watch
and fuck a pie.
You fuck a pie.
Hold on, what are your three like teenage movies?
The Girl Next Door, which is I feel a very underrated movie.
It is solid.
It is a solid movie. American Pie, which of course is classic. And then Euro Trip, which is just like a dumb, fun movie.
Yes.
And Michelle Trachtenberg is super hot in it.
Yes, so, she is. Also correct.
Yes.
I think I would go... I like that, Liz. I think American Pie, I mean, it is the... Like, for our era, that is the classic one.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so hard for me to not put a Can't Hardly Wait in there, too.
You know what? I've never seen Can't Hardly Wait.
And I feel like the final flourish on that one... is the Not Another Teen Movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the thing making the parody of the things that you just watched. And it's so fun. And it's Chris Evans.
Is it really?
He plays the jock. He's hilarious.
That is... I did not know that.
Not Another Teen Movie is very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... I like it. I think I would... For my trilogy of the same idea, I think I'd go American Pie, Can't Hardly Wait, and it's a really close to leave 10 Things I Hate About You off that list, but I just mentioned it a couple podcasts ago. And then I would go, Not Another Teen Movie.
Interesting take.
See, I think I kind of like having the flourish of the to change the perception a little bit of the whole thing.
Sure.
That's what I prefer.
Totally.
I think.
I'm glad my number three is slightly more up to your standards.
So if another way to go about this as well is you could do almost like a Revenge of the Nerds, like, Porky's or something, and then also like an American Pie. Has there been one of these movies in the last, I don't know, 10-ish years of this kind of like...
I feel if there has been, it hasn't been very mainstream.
I mean, we're obviously too old for it to like be cool to us now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's the like the teen comedy, or is it something like... was Zac Efron and like The Neighbors? Was that like, is that... Does that count? Is that too mature?
I don't think that was mainly about like
high school students. Yeah, these are all high school kids.
High school students trying to have sex. Like that's the through line.
Yeah.
But that's not what Neighbors is about, I feel.
No, I agree. I don't know if it's just because I'm an old ass man now, or if they just haven't made like the teen comedy again in a while. Mean Girls is not it's not about having sex.
No, it's not.
But God. Lindsay Lohan, back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's my number three, teen sex comedies.
Number three. This is a good trivia question for you here.
Hmm.
I'll give you my three movies, and you must tell me the through line.
Okay.
Here are your three films. They are. Your three films. It Happened One Night. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Silence of the Lambs.
I have no idea. Is it a director?
No.
Is it a producer?
No.
Is it a writer?
No. You're kind of touching on everything.
I have no idea.
There are only three films in the history of the Academy Awards to win what they call the Big Five.
Okay.
Which is Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, Best Writer, or Best Screenplay. So these are the only three films to ever, like, take the Big Five categories.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very different movies.
Sure.
But according to some of these standards, they are three of the best movies. And they're from three very different eras, three very different films. But I think it'd be kind of cool to watch the three films in the history of the Academy Awards that have been able to take home those awards.
That's an interesting number three. I feel like you approach this list as a more like abstract, with more abstract ideas, and I approach it with very simple ideas, where it's like, I like Jim Carrey. What are three of his films?
So just for funsies here, if you were going to put together there's two more Academy Award trivia questions for you. If you were going to watch a trilogy of the three films with the most Oscar wins for that film, what three films do you think you would watch?
Titanic.
That would be one of them.
I'm blanking. I have no idea.
Return of the King.
Okay.
And Ben-Hur would be your trilogy. All three of them. Yep.
What a completely different set of movies.
Very, and I've got one more set of movies that's very different as well. So the most wins is 11 Oscars at one, at you know, for one film. And so Titanic, Ben-Hur, and Return of the King. God, wouldn't it really suck to just watch Return of the King and not watch the preceding two films?
Oh, God, that would be awful.
Like, what? You go from Titanic to Return of the King? Like, ah, what the no!
Who is anybody?
Like, that is a shitty transition in a trilogy.
Oh, God, yeah. Then follow that up with Ben-Hur.
And here's your last one. If you were going to watch the three most nominated films, not that won the most, but were nominated the most, what three films do you think you'd watch? And I'll give you a clue. One is old, one you've already mentioned, and one is very recent.
So clearly it's The Mask.
Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura.
Yep. I mean, Titanic?
Correct.
Really?
14 nominations.
Jesus.
Three of these have 14 nominations.
Then it's probably another, I don't know, I'm just thinking like the exact list you just gave me. I'm like, oh no, Return of the King?
Nope. I think it was nominated 13 times.
Ah. I have no idea, dude.
All About Eve, also nominated 14 times.
Really?
The recent one, you'd be watching All About Eve, Titanic, and La La Land.
Really?
14 Oscar nominations for La La Land.
Wow!
Yeah. So, I was kicking around various, you know, like Oscar scenarios of, and like, but I think the only thing in the Oscars that have only had three winners mm-hmm. is taking all top five. So that would be my trilogy.
Okay, so that brings me to my number two, which is The Incredibles, Ratatouille, and A Bug's Life. These are
your favorite Jim Carrey movies.
Exactly. These are Pixar films that have no sequels currently. I know there's an incredible sequel coming out soon, but yes, these are three solid. Well, come on now.
I mean, that is true.
Three solid movies, no sequels currently.
Yes, kind of.
I'm curling up into a ball, and I'm just waiting for the anger.
In the Pixar world, there is Cars, it has three, mm-hmm. soon to be four. The Nemos, there's two, Nemo and Dory.
Toy Story has 90.
It
has 90, yep.
It's about to be four.
Yeah.
And Incredibles is about to have two.
I know.
That's it anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's a perfect trilogy. Moving on to your number two.
Hold on. It was Incredibles, Ratatouille, and what?
A Bug's Life.
Okay.
I wanted to do animated bug films, which A Bug's Life and Ants, but the only other one is like a bee movie, which isn't very good.
No, but it's not animated. I almost want to put, you could do childhood bug movies and put Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in there.
Oh my God. That would actually be pretty good.
That'd actually be, I actually kind of want to watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Cause when we were thinking about things that horrified us as a child,
mm-hmm.
the bugs in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids scared the shit out of me.
What about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Ants, and Ant-Man?
Yes. I like that trilogy better.
Then let's pretend I said that.
I like that trilogy better.
Okay, fantastic.
We're doing an ant trilogy. And then, oh God, now just, we need to find something with an aunt.
Harry Potter 3.
Perfect.
Yep.
Done. I like the ant trilogy. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very different films. And all are, like, pretty kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's nothing really in Ant-Man that's bad.
No, I mean, you're forgetting the hardcore sex scene in Ant-Man.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
Sure.
I forgot the triple X-rated Ant-Man. That's right.
Where Paul Rudd just puts into Evangeline Lilly.
God, Evangeline Lilly. That is, I would watch that.
Could you sound any creepier?
Evangeline Lilly, I watch that.
Oh, thank you, Billy Bob Thornton from Sling Blade.
Give me a little Sling Blade creep show. No problem. Hold on. Hold on. I really like this trilogy. This could be...
I've never seen you more excited.
This could be the Thanksgiving trilogy this year.
Ants, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Ant-Man.
Yeah, that is not bad. When was the last time you watched Ants?
Oh, it's been a few years.
Like, does it look shitty?
No.
No?
No, I mean, it's animated. Like,
well, I know, but I mean, after watching Toy Story 3, Toy Story 1 looks a bit rough.
Sure. I feel like Toy Story 3 and Toy Story 1 are completely different types of animation than, say, Ants.
But what I'm saying is, that's true. But Ants is also from that kind of like first generation of that, this Pixar style film. Mm-hmm. Like A Bug's Life, Toy Story, Ants. That's really your first three, isn't it? I know Ants isn't Pixar.
Yeah.
I know that. But it's of that era.
But it's still like, I feel the Toy Stories are mainly CGI, right?
Yeah.
And
computer animation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like Ants and, well, I guess A Bug's Life is, they're more like hand-drawn.
You sure?
I am not.
I'm pretty sure they're all the same thing.
You know what? I don't know for sure.
And by pretty sure, they are all computer generated animated films. That's exactly what I'm saying to you in this current moment in time. What I'm trying to say in that era and they're the first wave of computer animated films.
Steve, I haven't changed my sweatpants in 5 days. I don't know how to be a human being anymore.
That's not even, unless you haven't changed your sweatpants since like 1995. That's 20 years ago. They all came out. All right.
Oh,
TV
sure,
timeout.
Yes, you're right.
Now,
Steve, you're
don't
right.
You just say that. You oh, mean that.
Okay. Well, what are we doing? What are we looking up?
I have to watch a clip of fucking Ants now.
Okay, TV timeout.
Wes, that looks exactly like Tom and Jerry. You're right. Totally hand-drawn by computers.
Steve, I feel like you're being sarcastic.
Wait. Oh, that's right. All of the same era, first generation computer generated animation.
Steve, consider for a moment, I might be an idiot.
I've never considered that before.
Somehow I think you're lying.
Oh! Now that we're, by the way, thinking of the Bugs trilogy real quick.
Yeah.
What if we dropped Ants and added Starship Troopers?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Ah, dig it.
This is a great trilogy.
I dig it. This has evolved very nice.
So that's my real number two, the Ant trilogy.
Strong number two.
Thank you.
All right. I think you will know the through line of these three.
Okay.
The Room. Troll 2.
Oh my God.
Sharknado.
The worst movies ever made.
I prefer to call it So Bad They're Good. So Bad They're Good. Because I'll tell you what. Actually, you and I, we watched Sharknado together.
Yes.
We did not watch, I didn't make you watch The Room with me though, right?
No, because I hate The Room.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so I had a really fun time watching Sharknado.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several great times watching The Room.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really fun time watching Troll 2.
Never seen Troll 2.
It's a delight. It is an absolute delight.
Sure.
So for those who are not picking it up, these movies are fucking terrible. Like, the three worst movies that I probably have ever seen in my life.
Sure.
And they are hilarious because of it.
Yeah, I personally don't really buy into the so bad it's good thing. That's why I hate The Room.
So, I mean, I think if you were to like sit in a room by yourself and watch Troll 2, it's torture. It is.
Oh, I feel like I did that with Deathstalker.
I don't know. Maybe this is just of all of the things that I have in my life that infuriate me and make me just a generally hard person to be near. Watching like extremely bad films is one of the few things that I have that I can turn positive. You know? And I have a great, like, I loved watching Deathstalker. It was so fun.
Oh,
I mean, I admit, there's a, like, it's gotta be, like, the worst. Cause I can't watch, like, really bad Adam Sandler, like, The Hateful Eight.
Oh,
that was bad.
That was so bad.
But I mean, these movies and Deathstalker are way worse than The Hateful Eight.
Wait, did we wind up doing a Netflix review for The Hateful Eight?
I think I hated it so much I couldn't even do it.
That's right, and that was the death of Netflix reviews.
I just could not do it anymore.
Yeah.
But if it's like the real bottom of the barrel, I have a great time. The Room, Troll 2, and Sharknado, they're fucking terrible.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
So bad.
So bad.
Tara Reid in Sharknado is stupefyingly bad. Like, possibly the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
Do you remember when she was a thing?
You know, in your previous trilogy in American Pie?
Yeah.
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 What happened?
Tara Reid was looking good.
Yeah.
Real quick, I think we've mentioned this before, but for those who don't know, since we're bringing down our teenage, you know, sex trophies, that's not
wanna,
at all.
You want to take it again?
Yep. And roll it back. And since we're talking about, you know, ladies that got us through puberty, come on, roll it back.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Take three. You can do it.
Wasn't Shannon Elizabeth super hot?
There we go.
Tara Reid was number two in American Pie.
Yeah.
Like, no one's taken out Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She was outstanding.
Oh, sure.
Did you know Tara Reid had a botched boob job, and her nipples are all fucked up now?
I think I just choked on my own mucus. What are you talking
True
about?
True statement. If you're not at work, or if you have your phone at work, I'm just saying don't do this on your work computer, type in Tara Reid nipple, and it looks like the map of some sort of bizarre island.
Could we do a Tara Reid trilogy? American Pie.
American Pie 2.
Sharknado. Done.
Honestly, please name a movie between American Pie and Sharknado.
My Boss's Daughter, starring Ashton Kutcher.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I'm blown away. So, yes, not only can we do a trilogy, we can do a quadrilogy. Keep that in mind next week when we do Make Your Own Quadrilogy. But do yourself a favor. Check out Tara Reid's fucked up nipple. It's horrible.
Okay, so...
Sorry, back to
back to your number two.
Back to my number two. Tara Reid's nipples. Best trilogy out there.
Oh, God, they gave her an extra one?
There's just a little tiny one.
Oh,
but
boy.
Definitely a nipple.
That's horrifying.
There's something about having a couple of drinks with a couple of friends watching a super awful movie. The mood's got to be right. The people got to be right.
The mood, the people, the movie.
Gots to be right. But when it is right, it is great.
It is so right.
So, if you have those people, I encourage you to do that trilogy. It's some heavy lifting. I'm not going to lie. You can't do that in a night. Good God, no. Unless you have like a suicide pact. I mean, that's it.
Suicide Squad could fit into that.
Not good, though.
It's so bad, it's real bad.
God, it's so bad, period.
Yep.
Period.
Well, my number one, I think you might actually go with, which is going to be weird.
The Ants trilogy.
What if I just did that? Just reset that. No, it is Beverly Hills Cop. It is Die Hard. It is Lethal Weapon. What is the through line?
Wait, tell me that one more time.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Die Hard. Lethal Weapon.
Wow. I don't know why I did this, but when you said Beverly Hills Cop the first time, I swear to God, I thought you said Beverly Hills Ninja.
No, very like,
this
different
trilogy would
movies.
Make a lot more sense if it was that Eddie Murphy movie, Beverly Hills Cop. But the Beverly Hills Ninja's throwing me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we've got our, you know, eccentric detective California crime movie.
Eighties action pseudo comedies.
Yeah, pseudo cop comedies.
Like, but the classics though. Like the original Die Hard, classic.
Yes.
The original Lethal Weapon, classic.
Yes.
The original Beverly Hills Cop. Should I repeat it? It's classic.
Yes.
And these movies, now that I think about it, got ruined because of too many sequels.
Yeah. And actually, one of the things I was thinking about doing for this was, it should have been one. I'm thinking of movies that would have been great by themselves, and yet we threw a bunch of sequels on them.
Yeah.
And this is a prime list for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So these
rank
movies,
these three.
In order?
Yes. No, I mean, yeah, rank, that's generally how it works.
Okay. With numbers?
Yeah.
Die Hard number one.
Yes. Correct answer.
Lethal
Weapon. Doesn't matter what else you say. That's the correct answer.
Okay, fantastic. Lethal Weapon number two. Beverly Hills Cop number three.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I may flip those.
As long as Die Hard's number one, you can flip away, my friend. Flip away.
How long has it been since you've seen either Lethal Weapon or Beverly Hills Cop?
I saw Beverly Hills Cop about 2 years ago. Lethal Weapon has been a long time.
Sure. You know what? That could be a trilogy, Beverly Hills Cop, even though the third one is awful.
You mean it could be a trilogy or it is a trilogy?
I mean, it could be a trilogy that we watch for Thanksgiving.
No.
Okay.
I would rather watch the Aunt or Aunt trilogy, whichever one you've got. And I think all three of them take place in California as well. Obviously, two of them do. Lethal Weapon does
well,
as well.
It's called Beverly Hills Cop.
That's one. And we know that the...
Oh, you're talking about not the...
No. Your make-your-own trilogy.
Yes.
The Nakatomi Plaza is in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure Lethal Weapon is in Los Angeles as well.
I don't know for sure.
So, L.A. Cop... kind of comedy.
Now I'm curious. I'm going to look it up.
I'm almost certain that it is. Certainly not New Jersey.
Certainly not. It's not Boise, Idaho.
Does not go to Idaho.
Oh, God, no.
It's a fact.
So that is my number one. I will watch those three movies all night long.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good trilogy. That's a trilogy I would go watch.
Oh, thank you.
I won't, but I would.
Thank you. And what is your number one?
Number one. We are going with The Raid. We're going Ooh. With John Wick. We are going with Mad Max Fury Road.
So we're going princess movies.
Disney princesses at their best.
By the way, Lethal Weapon takes place in L.A.
Correct.
Great.
So this trilogy is what I refer to as your on-rails action movie.
Okay.
Which I've talked about before, that I feel like and actually it's the honorable mention on this one that you could swap in if you'd like, is you could also put Dread in there as well.
Just thinking that.
But Dread is so much The Raid, just with Judge Dread, they're so similar that if you want to throw it in, great. But, John Wick was my favorite movie of, 2 years ago? And mm-hmm. Actually, I think it came out the same year as Mad Max. They're, my 1-2 of that year. And these movies are nonstop action movies from the moment you go. And you begin your trail of revenge or whatever the destination is. And we do not derail with, a love story. We do not derail with, oh, well, we have to go back with the exposition of 10 years ago. We're like, no. We start, we go, and we do not apologize. It is action from the word go, and it's fantastic. All three of them have the same kind of feeling of that. And these are honestly three of my favorite movies of the last, I think The Raid came out longer than 5 years ago, but I've only discovered it in the last 5 years. I love all three of these films. I think they're the best action movies of the last 10 years. It's fantastic. So
I feel like this should be the front runner for this year's Thanksgiving.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Just absolutely. Run it by Holly.
Yes. No, she's in. Don't you worry. She is in. So, like, in John Wick, they do not explain the golden coins that all these assassins have for some reason. Mm-hmm. In Mad Max, they don't explain why they put spray paint in their mouth. Mm-hmm. And say they just, you just figure it out or you don't. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
It's not central to the story. The raid, they don't care about, like, all the kids that the guy has sold drugs to, and, like if he's in love, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The dude is coming for the head honcho drug dealer. That's it. Nothing in his way is going to stop him. That's it. Mm-hmm. Same with John Wick. I'm out for revenge. I don't give a fuck who's in the way. You're dead. Mad Max, I'm going to this place. If you're in my way, you're going to be out of my way.
Like, sure.
All three of them are the same in that regard, and there's also really good acting in them. Great act, like, actually unbelievable action sequences in all three. Very different, though. You have a kung fu on one end versus, like, vehicular battles on the other, and John Wick is that kind of, like, that gun fu kind of thing going on in the middle there.
Sure.
And there's also car chases, and so, like, it kind of has that spectrum to it as well. I think there is a through line to all of them, and they're all three of them are in very different, like, places and scenarios. I think that's, they're very different, but they're very, very similar at the same time. So,
sure.
That is why my on rails action movie is my number one for this year.
I like that trilogy a lot, and I hope it happens this year, because yeah. I still haven't seen John Wick.
God damn it.
I mean, am the worst.
You might be a fool.
All right, so my top five in review is, my number five is the Bill Murray trilogy, quickly followed by the Jim Carrey trilogy, then quickly followed by the 90s sex comedies with American Pie, The Girl Next Door, and Eurotrip. My number two, we kind of replaced it with the Ant trilogy. And then my number one are the 80s California action comedies with Lethal Weapon, Beverly Hills Cop, and Die Hard.
Number five. Alien Encounters with E.T., Alien, and Close Encounters of the First Kind. The Third Kind, excuse me, of the First Kind. It's very sexually explicit. Number four, we kind of moved. I said, Through the Years. Mm-hmm. And this was our Robert De Niro going, Taxi Driver, Cape Fear. And then, you know what? Take your pick. Meet the Parents or Analyze This for the final one.
Yeah.
Number three, we are going to see the only three films in Oscar history that have won the Big Five, mm-hmm. which was It Happened One Night, One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest, Silence of the Lambs, and number two, So Bad They Are Good, Sharknado, The Room, Troll 2, and number one, the on-rails action films of The Raid, John Wick, Mad Max, Fury Road, and if you want to swap out The Raid for Dredd, you can.
Yeah, definitely not Judge Dredd.
Not Judge... Let me be very clear. Sylvester Stallone does not make an appearance in my number one trilogy, just to be clear.
Rob Schneider might.
he's welcome anytime.
Yeah, sure. Guys, thank you so much for listening, but we want to hear your top five build your own trilogies. You can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can email us at 5andoutshow, all spelled out, at gmail.com.
And keep in mind, we're gonna watch one of these trilogies for Thanksgiving. That's how this thing's going down. So, we've got a couple weeks here, so let us know if there's something that is just, that we're missing, we should absolutely watch. Let us know. We need to know.
We have to know. But as always, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was five.
And we're out!
You've listened to oneofus.net for years. Quality shows that have made you laugh and maybe even cry. But did you know they produce podcasts that you may not have even heard of? For just a few dollars a month, you have the opportunity to hear quality podcasts like The Breakfast Pub,
Clegane Bowl 2016, get hyped, motherfuckers!
The Original Gentleman.
I see this as an avenue to you becoming a huge chick magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watch a Movie With Us series.
By the way, anybody thinking that his makeup is a little bit heavy here does not remember the 80s.
Oh, she's thinking about banking babies right now.
Oh, it turned into a phallic symbol.
Become a subscriber to oneofus.net and choose your level of giving from Red Shirt, Brown Coat, Time Lord, and Jedi. And know that your donation will help bring quality oral entertainment to you for years to come. Thank you. And may Cthulhu devour your house last.